Joe Blank joining us on a Progressive guest line. Round out your protection with life, phone, and pet health insurance. Visit them for a quote at progressive.com. How are you, Joel?
Good, Tony D. How are you?
Not bad, man. This is a fun story. This Texans team is fun. But let me ask you, from a standpoint of what you've been watching with C.J. Stroud, give us what is impressing you and what he sees when he's out on that field.
Tony, I think the biggest thing to me was when you look at just the history of NFL quarterbacks that are rookies starting for the first time, the numbers analytically or otherwise just aren't good. They just aren't successful. You look at Aikman, you look at a lot of the guys that were thrown into the fire early, and they weren't successful as a team, and the numbers as a quarterback weren't good. But when you watch C.J. Stroud, the most remarkable number is the fact that more than halfway through the season, he has two interceptions, and he threw the second one on Sunday against Cincinnati. And that's just unheard of. When you talk about the touchdown to interception ratio coming in was 14-1 until he threw the second one. And his touch on the football is unbelievable. Because I'm the first one to admit I didn't think this Texans team was going to be very good. I thought that he was going to take some lumps. I wasn't sure if he was going to be very good. And I knew that his first year was probably going to be a struggle. And I'm the first to admit how wrong I was, because when you watch him play in person and you understand when they talk about him being an X's and O's guy, the way he reads his pre-snap reads, the way that he knows his progressions, the way that he can understand where the defensive pressure is coming from and go away from it. And then on top of everything else, his touch with the football, which was the biggest strength he had coming out, is just on a different level. Like, it's not just over a linebacker and under a defensive back. It's that and putting it within 2 inches of the guy's pointer finger so that he has no choice but to, you know, put his hands up and put it right where it needs to be, where it's free from the defenders being able to knock it down. And it's just, he's mature beyond his years, both from the playbook and the mental aspect. But then when you talk about touch and his arm and his ability to play the position, it's like you said, it's fun to watch.
It's interesting because when we do have success, when we have quarterbacks that are rookie quarterbacks, they're usually like thrusted into the job on a good team that may have drafted them late. But in this case, the Texans weren't a good team. And so not to sort of diminish the guys that are around him, but what was around him to allow him to do this?
There really wasn't much, Tony. That's the other thing that we keep saying on our show is the fact that he's actually elevated the guys around him. Tank Dell, who's probably their best overall wide receiver, was drafted as a wide receiver out of the University of Houston. He wasn't a secret here because people saw him play college. But he's a 160-pound wide receiver that everybody thought, well, in a couple of years, he'll be okay. He has been an absolute stud with C.J. Stroud. Robert Woods, who everybody thought had little to nothing left in the tank, was signed to a one-year deal. Robert Woods making play after play, catch after catch. Nico Collins, who was an underachieving third-round pick that they thought they might just cut ties with at the end of the year, is their leading receiver and is doing things that they expected from year one. And you go up and down the list and you say, it's one thing to say how good he is because of what he's doing with his own job at quarterback, but he's making everybody around him better. The reason why I predicted that the team would only win 4 games at the start of the year was because I didn't think the roster was that solid, and especially on the offensive side of the ball. A year ago, they had Damian Pierce at running back and basically not a whole lot else. And now suddenly Pierce is the odd man out because systematically he doesn't fit the Shanahan typical offense that they're running now. But Stroud has taken everybody around and made him better, and suddenly they're a force offensively.
D'Amico Ryans, he was a hot coaching candidate. I know Denver wanted him, but he wanted Houston, and they got him. What have you noticed that, because it's been a revolving door over the last couple of coaches that didn't have much time, but what's the feeling with him about what he came into and what he's doing? What have you noticed from the way the players react to him or what he's done a little differently?
He walked into a firing squad, Tony. He walked into an absolutely hellacious situation. The thing that he knew that he had to do was he had to change the culture, and he had to put together a staff and a bunch of people around him that he could trust, because there was no trust with Jack Easterby. There was no trust from the front office to the football staff across the board because of Easterby and O'Brien and all these guys that were backstabbing, me-first guys. That it was a very, very unsettled and an unstable situation. So he came in from day one and he preached culture and he preached a new way of doing things. And he basically got the belief in everybody and the trust by saying, I was here as a player. I was here when it was good. I know what it's going to take to be good again, but you have to do it my way and see this vision with me. And everybody started jumping on board. And from the veterans, even a Laremy Tunsil, who's been a me first type guy, Laremy Tunsil coming right out of the chute, basically believing in what he had to say. J.J. Watt telling everybody, and you saw it on the broadcast this weekend, if you saw it, Nate, what the wide receiver that's in the studio with him. It escapes me for a second. But Nate says to him, hey, JJ, I got to give you credit. At the start of the year, after spending some time with Texans, you said that this coaching staff, this team, this organization was going to turn the corner and surprise a bunch of people. It's because you can feel it when you walk into the building. What's the loudest voice in the room now? And it isn't, well, is this a Nick Caserio decision? Is this an Easterby decision? Is this an ownership decision? There's no doubting who's in charge, and there's no doubting who the loudest voice in the room is now. And D'Amico's way has been the best way for everybody involved.
And speaking of D'Amico Ryans, the defensive mind, we talk about C.J. Stroud, but on the other side of the ball, how would you describe the way the Houston Texans play defense?
Yeah, they're young. They're athletic. They've spent a lot of good draft picks on a lot of quality, young, up-and-coming football players on the defensive side. Now, Will Anderson hasn't gotten home and hasn't gotten the sack numbers, but his pressures are some of the best in the league. And when you look at the PFT numbers and the inside football numbers, where it's really capitalized is with the amount of attention that has been given to Will Anderson. You look at it, and now you say, well, Jonathan Grenard on the other side of Will Anderson isn't getting double-teamed. He's getting home a lot. He's got a lot of sacks, a lot of disruptive plays in the backfield. And then you look across the board. The biggest thing that they did is they went out and they brought from outside in instead of just drafting him. They brought Sheldon Rankins in from the Jets, and they brought in Malik Collins. And these two big bodies inside, all in the last 3 weeks, they have, I think, 6 or 7 sacks. They have a ton of tackles for loss in the backfield. And they basically started to shut down their biggest problem of a year ago, which was they couldn't stop anybody running the football. And now the combination of their front seven is allowing them to do something that makes everybody have to pass. Their secondary's been decent, and that's how they get off the field.
So I hope I can make this question a little clearer, but I hope you get what I'm saying. Have they crossed the Rubicon a bit in terms of perception and expectation? Meaning, if you look at the rest of their schedule, there's some winnable games here, but have they crossed over where you go, look, we're not just on for the ride now. I think this team is very good and can win some of these other challenging games on their schedule. Or are we going, let's just enjoy this for what it is?
I think the biggest answer to that question is what happened last week.
Yeah.
Because when you look at what was a very soft and easy schedule to start with, but when you looked at it, you said, okay, and I said this 2 weeks ago, I said, I'm still looking for a signature win. Yeah, I know they beat Jacksonville early. Yeah, I know they beat Pittsburgh, and they won some games. But show me a game that they weren't supposed to win that they won. Well, that was last weekend. You beat a Super Bowl contending Cincinnati team that was red hot coming in. You were missing nine key players on offense and defense. And yet you came in and controlled the entire ball game. You were in lead from you were in command for the entire game. And even after Stroud threw the interception that let Cincinnati back in the game, he turned right back around and led them on the game-winning drive for the field goal to win the football game. And you said, okay, now it used to be, and I think I've said this with you before on your show, when you heard nationally and locally, when you heard the two words Houston Texans, everybody started to chuckle because coming next was going to be another embarrassing story, another, a story about them screwing something up, or Deshaun or Jack Easterby or Bill O'Brien or all these different stories that were negative. Now suddenly all you're hearing is the positivity and D'Amico and C.J. Stroud and this team's got a chance to make the playoffs. They're one game out of first place. They absolutely have crossed over to getting people to believe that this is a team on the rise and a franchise that's now starting to do it right again after 3+ years of doing everything so totally wrong.
That's amazing. Joe Blank again, Killer Bees, 97.5 in Houston. I really appreciate it, my man. Always good talking to you, my man. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, sir. Have a good day.
You got it. Joe Blank.